Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC and your daily reminder that the Reds are still in the title race. So stop whinging. We're level on points with Arsenal with an easier run of games to come. So don't give up. Don't despair. We have 7 league games left. As many as 5 left in the Europa League. That's 12 games max under this manager. He walked in the door saying he was going to turn doubters to believers. He achieved that. Now is not the time to revert to being doubters. Now is the time to believe in this manager and in these players. These players that have won a European Cup, that have won a Premier League title, that have won the FA Cup, that have won 2 League Cups. Now is the time to believe in them. Because Jurgen will be gone in the summer, and you don't want to leave him to leave with you having regrets that you spent the last 2 months of his tenure in charge whinging and moaning over nonsense, giving up on league titles with 7 games to go when we're level on points with Arsenal at the top of the table. Now, we're not joint top. That's a nonsense. That's a Gary Neville, Mr. DT type of coping mechanism. We are second, but only on goal difference. Only on goal difference. If we win our last 7 games, we will win the league. I think if we win 6 and draw 1, we will win the league. So just cool your jets a little bit on the negativity. Before the season, none of us, not one, thought we would be in this position. Other than maybe some delusional people. Because we didn't look like a title-winning team. Certainly not last year. We didn't get everything we wanted to get done over the summer. But here we are. And we'd all have taken to be in this position. With 1 cup already in the bag, level on points with seven games to go, a point ahead of Manchester City, most importantly, and in a quarter final of a European competition, with a manager who in his entire tenure at Liverpool has only lost a two-legged tie once, twice, Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid. There are no Madrids in this competition. So we should be okay. No Madrids left to bully us. There's a lot to be positive about between now and the end of the season and looking ahead to next season. Now, Pletty Goal, or Pletty Spoof, he has come out today and said that Ruben Amorim has a verbal agreement to join Liverpool this summer, that the contract's not fully agreed, but that it's getting there. Dealing with Sporting will be very straightforward. Now, Portuguese journalists are saying that the verbal agreement is not quite accurate, but that there have been high-level concrete talks and that the framework of something is very close to being agreed. Looks like a 3-year contract, which is standard. Jurgen arrived on a 3-year contract and then got a 6-year contract by the end of that season. And if Amorim has success in year one, they will do the same thing for him. I think it's the right move. He's been my number one pick all along. I know a lot of people want a Xabi. But again, Ruben Amorim is more proven than Alonso. Ruben Amorim ticks more boxes right now than Alonso does. And he's a more straightforward transition from Jurgen than Xabi would have been. Because Amorim's style of football is much closer to Jurgen's. Amorim's style of pressing is much closer to Jurgen's. Whereas Alonso, he's very much from the Pep school of thought. His pressing system is Pep Guardiola's pressing system. The same one we see Arsenal use. Tactically, how they build up at Leverkusen, very similar to Pep. And all of us have watched Arsenal and Man City play this season and thought, it's a bit boring at times. Alonso's football is a bit boring at times. It's rarely the case with Ruben Amorim that his team play boring football. And isn't that what we want? A team that excites us? Now, look, Alonso's going to be a great manager. He's done an amazing job at Leverkusen. He has done an incredible job. But I've said all along, I would rather he go to Real Madrid and then Bayern and then land at Liverpool, because he'd have those other two out of his system. Look at Pep as an example. If Pep had come to City first, he'd be long gone, but he never would have spent as long at the club because he'd have had the draw of other clubs. Pep managed Barca, managed Bayern. They were obviously his club and a club he had incredible admiration for, and then he lands at City. I think it will be the same with Alonso. I think if he'd come here first, in 2 years, maybe three, he's away. The circus would never stop with Alonso in charge, because every time Real needed a new manager, his name would be brought up. And his head was turned by that once before. That's not a concern that I would have with Ruben Amorim. Ruben Amorim, I could see being at Liverpool for as long as Jurgen, because he's taking over an incredible situation. A team that's already competitive. A team that's got world-class players throughout. An academy that's producing players both for the first team and to be sold to generate revenue. And a squad that's very close to perfect for how he wants to play. We'd need a left-footed centre-back to complete his back three. Personally, I might be inclined to look at bringing in somebody as a high-level backup for Ibu because of the injury problems. But then, given how Joe Gomez has played this year, could Joe Gomez be that high-level backup? Could Sepp Vandenberg come back in, take a step forward in his development as he has this season at Mainz? Could he be that guy? But a left-footed centre-back is absolutely the first need. I think a left wing-back is the second one. Robbo, for me, hasn't been particularly good this season, wasn't good last year, and ended the previous season quite poorly. I would sell one of him or Kostas. We'll cover all of that in a transfer committee pod in a few weeks. And then in midfield, he's going to want, I reckon, a high-level defensive midfielder because it's vital to his system. That's three players in the starting 11. In the 4-3-3 we're currently using, I think we need three starters anyway. Left-back, defensive midfielder, and a left-winger. So it's no different in terms of the amount we need to bring in, whether Jurgen was staying or a new manager's coming in and changing the shape. Squad-wise, we're in really good shape. Now, a couple will leave. I would be stunned if Quevin Kelleher is a Liverpool player next season after this year. I think what he's been able to do this year will put him firmly in the shop window. And Michael Edwards having control over these decisions means that in all likelihood, we cash in like we should have done over the years with other players who had really high runs of form. Like when Divock had that unbelievable run in 18-19 and should have been sold in that summer. Because his value was never going to be higher. The same is true of Kelleher. His value will never be higher. Now, David Lynch is reporting that Liverpool are looking at Sunderland's young goalkeeper, Anthony Patterson. 23 years of age. He's already got significant experience under his belt. And this would make sense if Kelleher is going. He's homegrown. He's a proven quantity. He's got potential for development. And at 23, he'll have good resale value. So he'd tick a lot of boxes for us. And the only knock on him, and the only reason I would question whether he is the right one for Michael Edwards and co, is his size. Like, he's not a big goalkeeper. He's only 6'2". Now, it might not concern them. They might look at other factors, but we do know that size is one of the things that Edwards values. In his career, he's already played 132 senior games. He'll turn 24 in May. So he's a year younger than Quevin. 2 years younger than Quevin? I think 2 years younger than Quevin. And a lot more experienced, even with all the games Kelleher's gotten this season. He's about a year and a half younger than Kelleher. But comes in, he does well for, and actually Quevin's only 6'2 as well, so to be fair. But Quevin came through the academy, he's not someone we spent money on. To be fair, if Patterson comes in and does well for 18 months in the cups or whatever, he's another one then that we could be looking to sell on for good money. What else do we have here? First photo of real Liverpool FC third kit with a vertical swoosh. I'm not sure I like that, but it is what it is. How Alexis McAllister ran the show but was let down by Red's record wastefulness. It's a good piece written by Joanna Durkin. Does Ruben Amorim speak English? Well, the answer has always been yes. I'm not sure why this question is still being asked. It's been common knowledge among anybody who's ever paid attention to Ruben Amorim that he's fluent in English for years. So I'm not sure why the question's still being asked. I have seen some sillier young men on social media say that, oh, he doesn't speak English. Well, yes, he does. And obviously the other cry is, and he plays a back three. We're not a back three club. Well, one of the most fun Liverpool teams that I can ever remember was the Roy Evans team, which played a back three and was great crack. People have preconceived notions that a back three is defensive. It just isn't. And especially not when it's managed like him. Oh, and also Xabi Alonso, the fella you wanted, he's a back three manager as well. This idea that managers adapt to the players they inherit is utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. What's the biggest gripe about Ten Hag? Is that he hasn't implemented his own style of play. So this idea that what you want is a manager to just come in and adapt to what the players do is horseshit. Did Pep adapt to what was there before? Did he fuck? Did Jurgen adapt? No, he didn't. Jurgen walked in the door, initially played a 4-2-3-1, and then moved us to a 4-3-3, which always resembled more of a 4-2-3-1 anyway. He didn't adapt to anything. Alonso didn't adapt to the players that were at Leverkusen. He walked in the door, took a back four team that had finished third the year before, not some gang of scrubs, not some crappy team, a really good team that had finished third and had some injuries and some bad fortune to make a bad start. He immediately moved them to a back three. And then in the summer, he doubled down and bought players to play the back three. Not only that, but if you took 10 minutes to research his Real Sociedad team, when he had success with them, primarily that last year there, he was playing a back three. In his first year, yeah, he pricked about. He used a back four. He turned it into a box defense, which was fun, but not very good. He used a 4-2-3-1. He played 4-3-3. And then he settled on a back three. And he has stuck with a back three since. And if he was coming to Liverpool, he would play a back three. Antonio Conte walked in at Chelsea, completely changed how they played, put them into a back three, and won a league title. You know why? Because top managers implement their own ideas, play their own preferred shape, manage to their principles. They do not adapt to what's there. And if the players can't adapt to the manager, the players find themselves out the gap.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify. It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Players must adapt to the manager, not the other way around. You see, what people wanted was they wanted Alonso to come in and just be Jurgen 2.0. That's what they wanted. And they thought that because Xabi was a former player, it'd feel all warm and cuddly. That's what they wanted. They wanted Alonso, but they wanted Klopp football. You couldn't have a bigger fundamental change. You couldn't. Sean Dyche's football has more in common with Jurgen's than Alonso's does. That's just the fact of the matter. And if you bothered to watch Bayer Leverkusen play a handful of full games, you'd have realised it would have been a monumental change. Now, are our players capable of doing it? Absolutely they are. Absolutely they are. Again, he, like Amorim, would need three players in the same three positions. Slightly different profiles. But the same ideas of what the players, what players will be needed. You'd have a lot of overlap. They use them in very different ways. Very, very different ways. But Alonso absolutely would have used a back three, and our players absolutely could have adapted to it, just as they will if the next manager is Ruben Amorim. But it is worth pointing out that more or less all of the managers we've looked at have been back three managers. What else? Referee and VAR confirmed for Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Klopp said he's too slow. Okay, let's have a quick gander at what this is. Why does Jurgen always have to criticise referees and get them lined up against us? That's the one thing I would say that is a negative of his time at the club. Chris Kavanagh is set to referee the game. He obviously refereed the Carabao Cup final. I actually, look, he's not a good referee, but he's one of the least or less offensive referees in the league, to be fair. Michael Oliver will be the VAR. That would worry me much more because he's dreadful. Why uncapped 16-year-old has been travelling with the Liverpool first team? Cornel Mashour has been a regular presence on match days of late. Well, I assume he's there to help the goalkeepers warm up. Yeah. Yeah, he's there to help the goalkeepers warm up. And I suppose if someone gets injured, he can then maybe take a spot on the bench. But it's good for him. It's good for him. Rodrigo reveals how he almost joined Liverpool at 16 for just 3 million. He claimed that it was because he wanted to stay at Santos. That's not the truth of it. The truth is, a director at Santos realized what was going on and blocked the deal. That's widely reported. Liverpool defender season all but over after injury and hectic loan. And Atalanta defeated ahead of Anfield trip. They lost to Cagliari at the weekend 2-1. They're not in great form. We'll do a scouted tomorrow to cover Atalanta. Luke Chambers, his impressive loan spell at Wigan is all but over, and he is set to be sidelined with an injury for most of the rest of the season. He has started 15 of 16 appearances for Wigan and has played centre-back, left-back and wing-back. He might make sense as a backup left-side centre-back for us next season if he has a strong pre-season. Shame that the injury is kicked in now, but he's done really well there, and I think that will be very, very confidence boosting for him ahead of next season. But he definitely strikes me as someone that could be a decent squad player for us next season or the year after if they decide that next season should be a loan. Four things definitely happen if Liverpool confirms Ruben Amorim from transfers to formation. Right, we'll come back to that. New Liverpool manager has four things to sort out right away, and checklist could be for Ruben Amorim. Right, we'll come back to that. Liverpool next manager could benefit from extra forward. It's about Fabio Carvalho. It's another piece about Amorim. Another piece about Amorim. There's a piece about the pre-season tour. There's a piece about Liverpool will get 12,000 tickets. There was actually a piece on This Is Anfield about this as well. Liverpool will get 12,000 tickets for the Europa League final, which will be played in Dublin. Assuming we get there. We might not, but assuming we do. That stadium holds 48,000, I think. So we're getting a quarter. Not ideal. Liverpool could make 7 changes versus Atalanta as 2 boosts near and Harvey Elliott call needed. There's a piece about Dom, piece about Michael Edwards and the Mo decision. Chelsea wants Liverpool target. I think that is that Ederson of Atalanta. We'll come back to it. Four things definitely happen. Formation decision. Let's see. At the moment, Amorim seems pretty tied to a back three, but would that be the case at Liverpool? Not necessarily. You don't know anything about the guy then, so don't write about him. Basing the team on a back four would appear logical. The claim here is that Harvey Elliott and Dominic Szoboszlai wouldn't fit. Well, first of all, Harvey's a squad player, not a starter. Dominic fits perfectly as one of the two behind the nine. Szoboszlai and Salah behind Nunez is the ideal front three for Ruben Amorim. So I don't know what you're talking about, Matt Addison, but you should just do a little bit more research, maybe watch a few sporting games rather than just writing utter drivel. Style of play, sporting players linked with transfers, yada, yada. Jokeres, Kankalvas we wouldn't sign. Hjulmand, Diamande, 80 million, doubtful. Inacio, I could see. Hjulmand, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we'd move for him. Really good player. But I think his buyout is like 60 million. And I think they'd look around and feel like they could get better value in that position than Morten Hjulmand. Though, like I say, really good player. And I would be more than happy if he did land at Liverpool. But that piece is largely horseshit. Four things the new manager has to sort right away. Nail the first press conference. Right. Address the contract situation. Not his job. meet with Richard Hughes and Michael Edwards. You don't think he might do that before taking the job and sign a defender? Well, again, not his job. That is the job of the recruitment team of Richard Hughes and, most importantly, of Michael Edwards. There's growing reports that that Salah could potentially head for Saudi this summer. I do feel like if a big enough offer came in, it is something they'd consider. But I think the final decision will be Mo's. Like, if he wants to sign a new contract, I think they'll keep him. If he doesn't, then they'll sell him. It basically just comes down to that. And apparently we have been scouting Alan Varela. And again, I think he's more likely than Hjulmand because Porto are more likely to negotiate than just stick to the buyout clause, whereas Sporting are, well, they're very, very stubborn when it comes to their buyout clauses. Chelsea want to get Liverpool target. Let's see. Oh, it's Nico Williams. I'm not sure why they chose the picture they did then. Oh, maybe it's somebody else. It looks like Ederson. Anyway, Liverpool.com. Yeah, never quite lived up to the expectation that site, did it? Christian Walsh used to run it quite well. And then he moved into a different role. And it feels like it's been pretty poor ever since. Betting suspended on Ruben Amorim to Liverpool. And predicted 11 for Atalanta. Liverpool desperate for a turn of star shooter. That would be Diogo Jota. Which injured star are you most excited to see return? Personally, Trent. But, you know. Dermot Gallagher weighs in on Harvey Elliott penalty decision. I mean, it's a very clear penalty. A very, very clear penalty. I'm not sure how it's still being discussed all this time later. But whatever people need to cry about, I suppose, gives them something to cry about. And Liverpool bad, obviously. They're trying to give Klopp his farewell tour. Really? Then why didn't we get the Stonewall penalty against Man City when Doku kicks Alexis in the chest? Why didn't we get the Stonewall penalty against Arsenal when Odegaard played basketball? Why is it that every time we play, there's a significant decision that goes against us? Like the Casemiro tackle and the Kamwala tackle, both wild, reckless, and out of control, both endangering an opponent. Neither of them punished beyond a yellow card. Harry Maguire allowed to manhandle our players, not punished twice. Bruno Fernandes already booked, telling the referee to fuck off, not punished. Why? Oh, but Jurgen has to get his farewell to bullshit. Absolute bullshit. On AnfieldIndex.com, David Lynch has had his say on the ticket price increase. He's also had a look at the wastefulness of the Liverpool frontline against United. Liverpool to battle Newcastle. Let's have a look at that. Dave Davis has written about Mohamed Salah's importance. Liverpool to battle Newcastle. Oh, it's Crescencio Somerville. I just don't see it. Yeah, Dave Lynch is of the opinion that Man City are now favourites. I've been of that opinion for a while. Podcast-wise, there is that Media Matters with David Lynch. There is AIP episode 383 with Trev and Lisa Marie. There's Scouts of Tommies, if you haven't heard it. And then there is Stat Me Up, which is out today. It is Ben Boxick joining Dave Davis to go over the United game and discuss Dominic Szoboszlai in particular. There's also a look ahead to the Crystal Palace game. And that's it. That's all I have for today, folks. So I will see you all tomorrow. Hope you all have a pleasant day, except for that clown on Liverpool.com. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.